I know you heard me on the radio.
Flexing.
She loved the sound of my voice, it's the best in. Daydreaming of the jazz all day. Pick up the phone late night with Larry K. I know you heard me on the radio.
Flexing.
She loved the sound of my voice, it's the best in. Daydreaming of the jazz all day. Pick up the phone late night with Larry K.
Rutgers Scarlet Knights fans, it's your host, Larry K. Nightwatch, believe it or not, is still alive. It's still going. I still have opinions. I'm still following the team, football and basketball. We actually have big news coming soon. You saw the commercial we had. It's going to be great for the channel. It's going to be great for everybody who's been tuning in to me as regularly as they can. And it's not your fault if you haven't. I haven't been around as much. I've been trying to find a place to domicile a written column. I may just domicile that written column right here in the future. I may make it a perk for people who join the channel, but we'll get to all that another time. I did want to say my piece today on a few things. I wanted to briefly touch on men's basketball. We will talk about football pretty soon. I'll have a whole show on football. I got to be honest, I'm pretty excited about the football season coming up. I think it's probably the most depth we've had in years on the football team. Whether you're talking about the quarterback room, the wide receiver room, the running back room, I'm liking what I'm seeing in a lot of aspects of that team. So I'm excited about football. Coach Chiano recently had his press conference. I was interested in some of the things we heard. A little bit tough that, you know, DeCroce and Allen are medically retiring. That class that was so highly touted with all those four stars, many of those highly touted players are no longer with the program. That's a bit disappointing, but at the same time, guys that maybe were lower on the radar have now stepped up and become, you know, reliable starters and even some star players on Rutgers football. So that just shows you the philosophy of Coach Chiano and how he really identifies guys that fit his program, his culture, and he brings them in. And it's a testament. What's a testament also to those, to that fact, is that really very few guys who are legitimate contributors to the program have left via the transfer portal, despite being offered NIL, despite the fact that all this NIL is out there, despite the fact that the transfer portal is so prevalent. We really haven't seen it that much in the football program, which I think is a testament to a few things. Hopefully we remain that lucky, but that remains to be seen too. But look, that segues into the basketball program, and we just got news today that Gavin Griffiths, the very, very highly touted recruit out of Connecticut, whose, you know, emergence on the banks was much anticipated since his commitment date. I mean, this is a kid who played some high school games at Jersey Mike's, a kid who came to the arena as a visitor and stood up for ovations from the crowd, the highest rated recruit that Rutgers had gotten in decades. A kid who was known for his shooting prowess and who everybody expected and anticipated would be a prolific shooter at some point in his Rutgers career. Maybe it might take him some time to get going as a freshman, but everybody expected him to be a key contributor to this team, especially next year with the talent we have coming in. And really, he was one of the first dominoes to fall over the last 2 year recruiting cycle to make fans and the media and others really take notice and say, wow, look at Rutgers. Look what Rutgers can do. Look what they're putting together. Look what they're building. And today the news comes out that Gavin Griffiths will be hitting the transfer portal. Now, this isn't completely unexpected. There were rumblings for at least, you know, a few days, maybe a week, that this could be happening. It's all the more intriguing because Gavin had said some time ago that he would openly discuss transferring. He's never going to transfer. He's not hitting the portal. You know, he's loyal to Rutgers. He's loyal to Pike, all that other stuff. And you could take that, crumple that up, dunk that in a beer, wipe it on your behind, and throw it in the garbage. But hopefully it goes in, unlike Rutgers shooting this year. Sorry I had to hit the low blow. I love my program. I love, you know, the kids that play. But hey, it is what it is. Shooting was abysmal. Gavin Griffiths wasn't shooting too well either. Some of that could be put on the staff. I think we've seen now that no matter how prolific you think an offensive player is, no matter how much raw talent they seem to have when they get to Rutgers the last few years, we might be a great defensive team. we might be a competitive team with a lot of heart, but one thing we seem to be lacking consistently is consistent offensive firepower and any kind of prolific offensive play. Cam Spencer brought it to an extent, Cam Spencer is absolutely killing it right now, so nothing against Cam Spencer. He was an integral part of our team last year and a very good player. Obviously, Ron Harper Jr., when he reached his stride, was a prolific offensive force. Geo Baker, especially, I want to say, you know, his second or third year was really prolific. But even going forward from that, Geo was a great player. But it still came when the players put the team on their back. Even Paul Mulcahy, you know, in the MSG game against Michigan State, when they put their team on their back, when they started playing ISO, when they took tough shots, when they really got in their rhythm, they did well. But there were still droughts, you know, system-type droughts that Rutgers went through and they've been going through. So this isn't like a pessimistic, the world is over, the sky is falling, you know, episode of the show. But, you know, there is something to be said for the program and the offensive coaching and the offensive development when it comes to a kid like Griffiths not doing as well as we would expect this year. But another aspect to it is, you know, he's a freshman. And freshmen take time to adjust to the jump up in competition, to the environment, to the pressure, to a number of things. That's not unique to this sport or even anything. Anybody new to any arena, no matter how much talent they have, is still going to have to adjust to the speed of another level, adjust to the expectations, adjust to the stresses, adjust to the pressure, and it's not always going to be seamless. And everybody's going to need time to develop and adjust. Ron Harper Jr., I've seen a lot of people make this comparison. He wasn't the most prolific player his freshman or even his sophomore year, and later he became that player. And the same can be said for several people that have come through Steve Peichel's system. You've seen development, especially from the first year to the second year, and then development has continued, right? But the difference is Gavin Griffiths was a very highly rated recruit. Ron Harper Jr., everybody knew there was some development that was needed and that wasn't disputed and that development did happen. Now you're seeing a kid like Gavin Griffiths come in where he's not necessarily supposed to be the package deal, but he's supposed to be leaps and bounds above some of the other better players that we've had in the program because they didn't come out of high school rated that highly. And this kid comes out rated very highly, so you'd think he's somewhat battle-ready. And then any developments would make him exponentially better and even, you know, head and shoulders elevate the program. And we didn't see that this year, and I think the blame goes everywhere. Yes, the supporting cast. Yes, the staff. And yes, Gavin Griffiths himself. I mean, he was just not great, especially earlier in the year. On defense, shooting the ball. Now, whether that's fair or not because he's a freshman is another story, but he just wasn't great, and just leave it at that. You know, and you had the emergence of Williams, and it was a little too late, and you could thank the NCAA for that, and that's just something you have to get used to with the NCAA. How would it have been if Jermaya Williams was playing from the very beginning of the season? I don't know, but we still saw things and the wheels come off late in the season. And it's funny because I just took the little low blow about the shooting before with these players. But, you know, speaking to the transfer portal, speaking to what we're seeing right now, we used to see a situation where the young men and women on the court playing the sports that we were observing were actual students of Rutgers University, student athletes, who by virtue of their athletic talent and ability were afforded a college education, which, ask anybody paying back student loans, including me, is a great financial windfall, both in terms of saving the money you would have had to pay for that college education and having that investment that's going to return that ROI in terms of what types of employment and jobs and opportunities you're going to get by virtue of that college education. They were also getting their housing, their food, and other things. And the way the transfer rules were set up at that time, if you committed to a school, you were with that school. And if you wanted to transfer, you were going to have to sit out 1 year. And if you transferred, you know, more than once, there was a lot more rules implicated in that. And so the individuals on the court were your brethren, for lack of a better term. They were people, young people, who were pursuing academic success and learning about life, and who upon matriculation and graduation, leaving the program, they were going to become fellow alumni, and they were going to become fellow community members of the state of New Jersey or the surrounding region in most cases. And they were going to contribute to the school going forward and would always be members of our university. And so you had to hesitate before you criticized. You had to hesitate through the ups and downs. These were your students in arms, your fellow alum. And now what we're seeing is a system with no limitations on transferring. NIL, which I understood name, image, and likeness, which is what NIL stands for. Name, image, and likeness meant that a player could earn money off of their name, image, and likeness. It was counterintuitive and silly and extreme that they weren't able to earn money off of their own name, image, and likeness, i.e. a jersey sale with their name or likeness on it with their number, or their likeness on a video game, or signing an autograph, or even doing a commercial for a local car dealership. They should always be allowed the freedom to go out into the marketplace and with their name, image, and likeness that they've earned from playing sports at a high level and garnering interest and fame, even on a small local and regional level, they should always have the freedom to go out and use their own name, image, and likeness to earn money if people should choose to compensate them specifically for their earned name, image, and likeness. However, what is now called NIL, name, image, and likeness, has turned completely into pay for play, which is a completely different thing than what I just said. What we have now in college sports is people simply being paid to play the game, and coupled with absolutely no legitimate semblance of any consistent transfer rules, other than guys like Williams or guys we get, apparently, Brantley, who apparently can't play for the duration of full seasons because it's so arbitrary what the NCAA does, and I'm sure other programs face some of this same issue. Other than that, there's really no regulation of the transfer portal, nor is there regulation of NIL. So what you have now is players basically acting as one-year mercenaries. This is especially prevalent in basketball right now, more so than football. I don't know if that's because football, the teams are bigger, development takes longer, etc. But essentially, you don't have people who sign up. And this is where I think Rutgers is going to really struggle, because I think part of the fun of being a fan, as well as part of what is in Steve Peichel's wheelhouse as a coach, is program development, culture development, meaning young people coming out of high school. The same way other kids look for colleges, because it's going to go a long way in determining what they're going to do after college, what they want to major in, who they want to be, where they want to live, this exciting college choice, just like every other student in the country, but with a heightened accentuation, because you are a sought-after student athlete, you would go around to different institutions of learning, and you would find the best fit where you could hone your craft as an athlete, use your craft as an athlete to earn a free education and opportunities for your life that many other people were not afforded, just like some people go to the armed forces for that reason. You don't have to play the sport. If you choose to play the sport and you're good enough, you could get a free education, go to the school of your choice, and then stay in that school for 3 to 4 years at least, sometimes five, earn a college degree, grow into an adult, become part of a university and community around a region, city, or state. And in that program, the coach would be developing a culture, a system of succession where older players would graduate and then they would be backfilled by younger players that they would learn from, like many other institutions for centuries of humankind. And the culture in the program would be developed over time, and the culture would intertwine with the school, with the university, with the fan base. And people would sign up for that to grow within the program and develop and get better and better. And the program itself would now be more than the sum of its parts and would grow into a self-sustaining thing, a tradition, a legacy, an ongoing thing that is part of an even bigger thing, which is a university. And you would be cheering for those people who were a part of your university, and the memories would stack up over decades. And it's a thing. It's part of the allure of college sports. And if they transferred, they transferred because it was a big decision for them and they would have to wait a year, or even, you know, I would be fine with transferring once without the penalty, but actually enforcing it properly. You know, you transferred, you had to sit a year because it was a big decision. It was usually done once. And then if you graduated, you could transfer as a grad transfer and go earn your graduate degree somewhere like Miles Johnson did back home where he was from. UCLA, and it was deeper and meant more. And today, what do we have on these basketball courts but 1 year pro athletes who are getting paid to play ball, who don't have much connection to the school because they don't stay there more than a year? It's not even a year, it's a season, it's a few months. Where everybody outside is telling them that they're not students, they're not student athletes, they're professionals. Even though they are still going to class, they still need an education, and an institution of learning is who is paying them or gathering support from NIL collectives to pay them, who is paying for their education and trying to educate them. They are told that they are not student athletes because in this new era, you could blame these kids all you want, but it's the adults around them, the agents, the media figures, the people with an agenda saying they are not athletes, they're employees of a large profitable institution. Well, here's what I would ask you. What about women's field hockey? What about volleyball? What about non-revenue sports? They are also student athletes with a crazy schedule who are going to class. Are they employees and pro athletes too? Or does that definition only fit when it's a big money-making sport that you want to claim has players who are employees so you could make money about it, so you could grandstand and virtue signal politically, and so you can upend a system that is still giving somebody something of immense value by choice? Because unless you're going to encompass every single college sport in that definition, you're being disingenuous. And so here we are with Gavin Griffiths now transferring because the school, the commitment, the culture building is completely irrelevant these days. And I don't think that a guy like Steve Peichel, who's a culture builder, a program builder, an athlete developer, is going to do well in this environment, in this system. Because his job now is to go out and assemble the best mercenary class possible with the most funds he can put together from every angle he can, whether that's, you know, grad transfers, regular transfers, high school, whatever. Put that team together for 1 year, which is a few months, and see how far he can get. And there's no continuity. There's no cultural, you know, re-emphasis. There's no ongoing multi-year development. And I don't think that's the wheelhouse of a lot of these guys who are professionals at developing programs, not assembling one-year classes of mercenaries. It's going to hurt programs like Rutgers. It's going to hurt many other programs. It already has. And given what I've said, why should college fans care at all about rooting for these teams? Why should universities have any business fielding one-year semi-pro athletic classes? What does that have to do for the ongoing mission of an institution of learning? If you're going to have semi-pro ball and represent a state or donate to a school or something, just put the school logo on there as somebody that you sponsor or sponsors you, and rep the state you're coming from and make it semi-pro for real. I don't see why any college fan should continue to root for one-year mercenaries who are getting paid to play, who have very little connection to the university. It makes no sense. I, for one, am starting to get checked out. I was checked out at the end of this year. The same way Mawat Mag was checked out because he knew he was transferring, that's how checked out I was as a podcaster and as a fan. That's why he didn't see me much. Why should I care if the guys in the court don't even care? And I'm sure, you know, it's great for the professional podcasters, the professional media, guys who can't say their real name and go by Trilly Donovan. Trilly Donovan. He's a big shot because he tweets all the rumors. Can't say his name. It's just Trilly Donovan. It's fun for him because every year everybody's moving the mercenary class. He's the mercenary man, the mercenary reporter. But it's not fun for serious journalism. Not fun for actual analysis. Not fun for fans of the sport that are the rank and file. Sure, TV numbers can go up all they want because gambling's at an all-time high. Pick a team, put some money on it, lose some money, talk about it ad nauseum, gamble all day, fine. Gamble legally, so many places nowadays on sports. But when it comes to the rank and file fan who cares about the institution and the teams, you're hollowing out the base. You're hollowing out the core of what makes this thing work. And eventually, if you hollow out the core enough, there's not going to be this NIL money. There's not going to be this Trilly Donovan X hype. There's not going to be all this TV money. You keep hollowing it out. So keep up at it. Don't regulate it. Don't rein it in and watch what happens. Because it's not going to be pretty. I can think of a ton of things to do with my money other than spend it on season tickets and whatnot for a bunch of mercenaries. Now, I'm not knocking Rutgers. I'm not saying I'm not coming back to the games next year. I'm not knocking Steve Peichel. I'm just saying this is the reality of the situation we're in. Now back to actually what's going on. We have Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper coming in next year. And I told you earlier in this year, I told you, the most important thing this year is to establish this continuity of culture. Establish continuity of culture in this program so that when these two young men who are supremely talented, but very young, take the step up in competition, and it's largely speculated that these two will be one-and-done players. They will play 1 year. If you want to have any chance at actual serious success next season in a deep tournament run, or contend for a Big Ten title, or contend for a Big Ten championship, or a tournament championship, you better establish some basis, some base for these two young men to come into, where they can step in, set up to succeed, rather than step into a vacuum and a bridge, and a rocket ship headed to nowhere. And I think one of the most disappointing things about this season, and one of the most disappointing things about all these outgoing transfers, is that these young men are coming in as true freshmen with 1 year to make or break their legacy, and 1 year to make or break this widely acclaimed recruiting class, this highly anticipated season. And they are walking into a program that has Williams, sure, both Williams, no Cliff, not even Gavin Griffiths, who was supposed to be a sophomore shooter with them. No Mawat Mag. All of these guys that we counted on to be this basis, to build this high expectation team. They're all gone. What you have next year are two highly talented freshmen. A couple decent role players, Jermichael Davis, okay. He's a guard, and they're guards too. Well, not Bailey. Bailey's not a guard, but Harper is. Williams, Jermaine, he's a guard. Where's your team? Where's your basis? Where's your competitive team? Now, Lathan Somerville is a beast of a player. I think he's a great player. Again, he's a freshman. Is he ready to go? I know they're going to hit the transfer portal. They're going to try to. They're going to Princeton. They're trying to get some kids. I think they're going after some legitimately good kids, and that's all you could ask for Pike. All you could ask from Pike. He's going out. He's doing it. But how much continuity, how much chemistry are we going to have? We saw with this year's team. Without continuity and chemistry, this program could struggle. everybody keeps saying, oh, wait till next year, wait till next year. Next year is going to be this, next year is going to be that. Let's see. There are no guarantees with freshmen in this sport, in this league, at this level. We've said it. We've seen it. We've seen it. So you'd be a fool to put expectations on this season coming up. You'd be a fool to put expectations on it. You could get excited. You can get excited. You should get excited. But I wouldn't put crazy expectations on it. Because as we've seen with Griffiths, there's no guarantee that freshmen are going to be as successful as you want them to be. And it's 1 year. And without a supporting cast, it's going to be a struggle. That's just the reality of it. And when you talk about guys like Mawat Mag, you talk about guys like Cliff Amori. Cliff was a highly touted recruit himself. And for 2 years with a good supporting cast, Cliff was an absolute force on defense. I'll never forget when he absolutely dominated Coburn against Illinois, the one game at home when he was sick of hearing about his hype. Cliff is a great kid. Donated money to institutions in Newark. You know, a kid with a great immigrant, you know, American story. I'm rooting for Cliff wherever he goes. But you have to question the program development when Cliff looked like he didn't develop as much at all after his sophomore year. You have to question the program when Mawat Mag looked stagnant as well, despite injuries. I know injuries played into it, but he looked stagnant. When we weren't seeing the growth that we used to see under Steve Peichel from freshman to sophomore year, you had to start scratching your head. And I don't know if there is any type of change in the system or style or any human nature complacency. I'm not saying it's intentional. I'm saying that humans can tend to get complacent when they think everything's going to be better tomorrow because we have these recruits coming in. I'm not sure if Cam Spencer and Paul Mulcahy pulling the rug out from under this staff after the transfer portal window had closed, but the grad portal window was open still, had anything to do with it. Of course, all those things definitely should and will factor in. But regardless of what the reason is, with the current landscape of college basketball, you've got to wonder a little bit about where this program and team are going. I hope Ace and Dylan come in and set the world on fire. I hope the transfers we go out and get are absolutely incredible. And I hope we make the deepest run we've ever seen in my lifetime at Rutgers next year. But speaking of gambling, I don't think I'd bet that much on it, given our circumstances. Now, I'm not saying it can't happen. I want these kids to come in here and set the world on fire and do awesome. But there's no guarantee. I'm not saying they can't do it. I'm not saying they're not great players. I'm just saying you can't expect those things and assume it's going to happen. Just can't. This year, it's interesting. Williams, who didn't start playing till later in the year, he had the most points per game. He averaged the most points per game of anybody on the team at 12.2. Andre Hyatt, who gets a lot of flack for some reason. I mean, he did the best he could. The layups were a problem, but he did the best he could. 10.5. Cliff, again, got a lot of agita this year from people. Cliff, 10.4. Then Mag, 9.1. Derek Simpson after that at 8.3. Noah Fernandes, Gavin Griffiths was all the way down on the list. He only averaged 5.8 points a game. Jermichael Davis, 5.6. So you are bringing back your best scorer and arguably your best player in Jermaine Williams. But you're losing the entire core of the team that you had that was carrying you at least in points. And that's scary because who are you replacing them? Andre Hyatt, 335 points total on the year. Cliff, 333. By far and away, the most prolific scorers on the team. By far and away. Rebounds, you know, Big Cliff averaged 8.3 a game. That's great. That's a good number. That's a good number. You know, next on the team, you got 4.6 from Andre Hyatt. Williams, again, 3.4. Mag, 3.8. Simpson, 3.2. Griffiths, you're going down to 2.2. Jermichael Davis, 3.1. Not terrible. Blocks, obviously, Cliff far and away, 2.9 a game. Assists, Williams up there at 2.8. Fernandez 1.6, Simpson 2.9. Simpson's another exile. Now, I understand Simpson. I don't know. Again, though, what is confusing and what is troubling about Simpson is that you didn't see the jump you wanted to see from freshman to sophomore year. You look at Simpson the end of last year as a freshman, it looked like he was really coming up. It looked like he was really going to develop and be an integral part of the team this year and going forward, especially with the, you know, the lack of talent this year. But he failed to really rise to the occasion and score or play with any kind of consistency. He looks to leave, and I don't blame him or the program for Simpson parting ways. But it's concerning that there was a lack of development there. And you can't get out of the fact that it was concerning that there was a lack of development there, and there was. So no matter how you slice it right now, guys, you could put it on the staff, you could put on lack of offense, you could put it on the players, you could put it on anything you want. The men's basketball team at Rutgers, we have a great class coming in. We have a good player on the roster. A couple other guys that could rise to the occasion. There's potential here. We're looking at transfers. But the way this program currently is and the way it's set up with the